your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds. And it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.
Those of you who weren't hearing me, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Thursday, August 6th, and it is now time for Finding Happy. Good morning, good morning. If you're joining on YouTube, thank you so much for being here. If you're listening on the radio, UME Radio, whether via our app or on Live 365 or TuneIn or Spotify or wherever you're listening, or radio.net or Radio Guide FM, wherever you're listening from, I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to Finding Happy. We're going to have a fantastic, phenomenal time today. One moment, let me just turn this thing off. Yes, there we go. We're going to have a great time today. Today, we're going to be talking about friendships, and I have a very special guest on the show today, and we're going to talk about his brand, because Finding Happy is really about connecting and harmonizing our thoughts, feelings, and actions. And we have a segment called Entrepreneurs Aloud on the show, where we talk to brand developers, influencers, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders to hear their stories and learn from their experiences how to build, develop, grow, and advance a brand, our brands, because owning our labor, having ownership of your thoughts, your feelings, your stories is so essential, is so important. And so on Finding Happy, we spotlight these topics and these issues, and we talk about them. So I'm so happy to have you here with me today. Thank you for being here, and I hope you have a great time. We play country music during this show, and I hope you're listening on our radio. If you haven't yet gotten our app, please get our app. It's UME Radio. That is the letter U, MERADIO. I also want to give a shout out to our sponsors. This is, of course, a UME Radio production, and we're sponsored by UME Digital Media Inc. That's the name of the company. And their website is U, the letter U, M-E, digital, I-N-C.com. UME Digital Inc. is a digital marketing and multimedia company, and they help persons establish their brand presence online, because sometimes you're present there but you don't have a presence. And UME Digital help persons establish it. So for example, if you want to design your website, if you want to do digital marketing, if you want to connect with experts who can help you build your business and establish and launch your business, they also have a program called Success Plan to help those who are who need support in building their business. And hi, Michael, welcome, welcome. I was just introducing the show. It's such a pleasure to have you. And we're gonna begin your interview very soon. And it's so for persons who want to establish their business, and you need support, because entrepreneurs need support in order for you to win, in order for you to advance, in order for you to expand. You really need to have a network of people around you who are for you, who will advocate for you, who will support you, who will help you navigate the crevices and the corners and those little silent, you call them police, those little things on the road, those little silent bumps in entrepreneurship. You know, some little things sometimes that you just wouldn't have known because you've never done it before. So you want to have those persons around you who can scaffold you, persons who can hold you, persons who can, when those hard time comes, to help you through. And so we highlight stories of persons who are doing this and people who have advanced in it and people who are doing it. And then they're able to share little droplets of wisdom and you get the benefit of that. So that's pretty much what the show is about. So I just want to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here. We're just going to play an ad from one of our advertisers, and then we're going to come right back to continue our conversation. And then we're going to be joined by Michael Tennant. Michael Tennant is a creative strategist. You need to hear what he has to say. It's going to be phenomenal. It's amazing. So let's go to some music. You are listening to You Me Radio, and this is Finding Happy with myself, Coach Raquel. And just before our guests come up, I just want to share something with you from the book, if you can see it, Latte for Life. Yes, good nourishment, friendship. A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. That's Proverbs 27, verse 9. A friendship is a present you give yourself. That's a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson. And here's a little story I want to share with you. No one seems to have time for friendship these days. Everyone is overscheduled, and if there's one thing friendship requires, it's time. You have to invite prospective friends over for an evening before you even know whether they are prospective friends. If you seem compatible, you have to keep investing time to allow a friendship to blossom. Finding a friend is as challenging as finding a spouse. There are also various levels of friendship to consider. Casual friends are easy. They are pleasant to spend an evening with, go to weekend events with, and catch up on local gossip with. But these are superficial friends and soon die if someone moves away or their children transfer to a different school. They're like a nice dessert, but they aren't very enriching. Then there are some friends that can endure anything, forgive anything or everything. These are few and hard to find. They may grow from casual friendships, but most likely do not because of the huge investment they require. Once acquired, friends like these are precious blessings. You can call these friends at 3 a.m. and they will be there for you. In times of tragedy, they will listen to you cry and cry with you. In good times, you will want to share your joy with them, and your happiness will make them happy. Good friends are good nourishment for the heart and soul. Take the time needed to build such friendships, and you will never be lonely again. And to close this, I just want to share one friendship fact in the same book. Friendships not only make you happier, but they can make you healthier too. Creating strong bonds with another person helps lower blood pressure, heart rate, and cholesterol. And those were some good nuggets there. And it's just going to lead us right into what we're going to be talking about. Actually curious. I checked it out myself with a test from the media kit. Very, very interesting. And I happen to have been a part of a session where I saw it in action. So welcome, 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 Michael. I am so happy to have you with me today. It is such an absolute pleasure to have you. You are muted, so let me unmute you. There you go. Hi. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I feel that's wonderful. So good after your show intro. I'm just excited to be a part of your little curation today.
Yes, this is my place of peace, you know. This is where I come to find peace. Where do you go to find peace?
Ooh, going right in. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that. I have a routine that I keep in the morning, and it's starting to get these layers that I'm really excited about. But I get up and I try to meditate before I do anything else. you know, I'll sneak a couple peeks at whatever's popping up on my phone, but I'll go and get a 20-minute meditation in. I usually write down whatever thoughts come to my mind right away. And lately with the weather, I get up pretty early in the morning, but I try to go for a run to get some movement in before and get that energy going in my body before. And honestly, so that's where I find my peace.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's beautiful. I meditate too. It's such awesome. I found it to be a very mentally empowering tool, meditation. Mm-hmm. Please tell us, who is Michael Tennant? I know a little about you already. I know you're a creative strategist. I know you're the brain behind Actually Curious, which we're going to be sharing with our audience. It's something that I think is so innovative. I really, really like it. But who are you? Where did you grow up? Tell us a little about your early years, your early entrepreneurship life, and where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Tracing back sometimes it brings up feelings when you quickly pan through the different phases of your life. I'm a Jamaican American, born here in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, New York. I'm in New York City. My parents are both from Jamaica. They immigrated here in the late 70s. I grew up with three older brothers who are quite a bit different in age gap. Like the closest one was 13 years older than me. So they call me the wash belly. You know that term?
Yes, that's what they call it. Yes, I'm that for my dad too.
So I grew up in Brooklyn. You know, my parents were able to, I'm grateful, and my brothers always remind me, but they established themselves here. You know, my dad was an upholsterer who came here on like a trade visa and managed to stay. And then he managed to buy his company, his upholstery shop, from his Italian owner in Crown Heights.
I love that. A moment of celebration there. Yes.
Yeah, and you just set a really great example of making a lot happen with not that much, because he only had a elementary school education. He had to stop working to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. And my mother, I was thinking about her and how tough she was on me growing up. And they're both from Jamaica. My mom's from Hanover, Sandy Bay, if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Yes. And she just set such a high standard for me. You know, I'm the first of my immediate family to graduate college. But when I think about why I'm doing what I'm doing, and sometimes like the tough relationship back and forth that can happen with like a mom who wants so much for their kid, there's no way I'd be where I am if she didn't set the bar like always high. So you can imagine why I'm feeling emotions. I'm really holding.
I don't know why I am emotional. Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, Raquel, why are you emotional?
Yeah.
Like I feel like when you said you're the first for college, me too. Mm. That was me too in my immediate family. Wow. Your story is powerful. Mm. Did I stop you? Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I can keep going. I'm trying to just be conscious of time, because I can sometimes really drag out a story.
Yeah, that's okay. Yes.
So, I mean, I can fast forward quite a bit. I mean, we grew up in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn in the 80s, you know, just to give one more like bright spotlight on my parents. You know, in the 80s, Bed-Stuy is not the place with the cafes and... it's not the gentrified place that it is now. It was like the center of the crack epidemic. It was the byproduct of white flight. White flight in the 60s because of racial uprising, because of the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. It's kind of just really, I think it's important to remember that that's what the history of places like that are.
Yes.
And so for them to raise my three older brothers who were teenagers during that time, and for them all to survive and leave Bed-Stuy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a journey, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. It's been a journey. And you've been able to be innovative and to use that story to find your pearl in it, right? I kind of have an idea where that innovation come from because of your dad and your past and everything, but how did you find that within yourself to become so innovative to create the actually curious card? And even from hearing your story, I can understand the purpose connected to that. Tell us about it, please.
Well, I think just a real quick snapshot. I went away to boarding school when I was 12 years old and kind of left Brooklyn and went to boarding school. And I feel like that was this first point where I realized I'd left an environment that was all Black, or it was all Black and Hispanic. You know, I was privileged to go to a school that had Caribbean teachers. They taught us about our history, our heritage. And then when I left, I went to this environment that was a very elite school and a very great opportunity. And but there were maybe out of 500 students, maybe like 10 Black kids, maybe 50 kids of color total. So it was just a very, very different environment. And the reason I think it's relevant to point out is because this first point where I have this huge shift of going from one environment and needing to fit into another environment. Mm-hmm. For years, I would say when people would ask me about that experience, my answer would be it was a mixed experience. It had its ups and it had its downs. But what I'm really grateful for is that it gave me exposure to what the professional world in America and largely, you know, in Western society looks like, which is white dominated, and how to navigate and advance and be accepted in those environments. So with all of that, being the youngest, being in environments like that at a very young age, I think I'm much more keen to want to understand why you arrive at the way you think or you view the situation, and to kind of just massage the situation so that we could just continue to build our relationship. And what that requires a lot of times is me being able to recognize and acknowledge my own bias. I just very comfortable just accepting fault when I can recognize it, when I can see it from someone's eyes. I can say, you know, okay, yeah, I see why I'm wrong. So almost like strategy insight that went into creating this game is, why is it that it's so hard for people to admit when they're wrong, or maybe not necessarily wrong, but when something they have done consciously or unconsciously has a emotional or perhaps even bigger societal effect? Mm-hmm. Why is that so hard? And, you know, the reason is, at least like after all this exploration, I didn't know this then. That was just the germ of like wanting to get curious about this. But I believe the reason is that one of the most powerful motivators that we don't necessarily recognize, it's that powerful that it stays in this box, mm-hmm. Is shame. Mm-hmm. We are, as a species, incredibly averse to shame. So we'll mm-hmm. exhibit almost any other emotion versus something that feels like shame. And fault, that's in the shame realm. Worst fault that was unintentional or generational or societal. It's like we shortcut right out of that and into something else. Anger.
Yes.
Why are you blaming me? You know,
mm-hmm.
joy. That's not how the situation is. Like, let's just keep it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess I never really told the link in that way, but that's the real strategy insight behind actually curious. And over time, you know, essentially we found a moment in time that we wanted to affect. So in 2018, It was 2 years after President Trump was elected, which was a moment that for whatever your feelings are about it, it galvanized a lot of people around positive and negative energy. Mm-hmm. The type of agency that we're seeing now, I don't know, we would see it had 2016 and President Trump not been elected. It's all like, it's all a ripple. So in 2018, in this country, there was this huge response to voter turnout, really informing voters. And where we found that we thought we might be able to affect is this idea that, okay, there's a lot of information going out, a lot of energy, but it's a very much an echo chamber. It's just people who already have a pretty solidified view, just talking to one another about what coming together looks like, but there's no real genuine framework for that to happen. So we thought that was an opportunity area for us. And we created a campaign, a 360 campaign here in New York City about informing people on how they can use their voice, how they can get out, how they can influence the hearts of people, how they can use their art and creativity. And because we're, you know, we speak to like a younger audience, like a millennial, a Gen Z audience, how they can use technology. And in it, we just kind of serendipitously came to this idea of creating this tactic that we could give to people that would help them to bridge gaps here, leading into a very time-based objective, which was at the end of the summer, we knew the election was coming, and if we could get a tool out that helps people to fight the divisiveness against that we see, then that's something we can meaningfully affect. So that's how we came onto this card game.
Yes, I'd like to share some information from your press kit. So the mission has always been to spread empathy and help people build. Well, the name of the card is Actually Curious, just to be clear. Actually Curious. And you can go to actuallycurious.com and please go to learn about it. I'm just going to share some information with you. The mission has always been to spread empathy and help people build meaningful connections. Meaningful connections. As the pandemic forces us into quarantine, this feels more important than ever. I agree. We want to share our game and mission with as many people, especially during these times. We have created a free, So if you go on their website, actuallycurious.com, there's a free PDF that you'll be able to test the game, to see what it's like to get a feel for the game. And then you can proceed to getting the actual game because it's amazing. And so the PDF is available with 18 questions from both editions, Actually Curious, There are two editions. And the two editions are, it's Actually Curious, and let me go down further to see if it's there.
The Curiosity Edition and the Happy Hour Edition.
Okay, Happy Hour. That's what I was trying to remember. Every time I think Happy Hour, I think having some wine. So Actually Curious is Actually Curious is a card game that helps bring people closer together. We were reflecting on the divisiveness, as he was saying before, in our country, and wanted to do something about it. And they did something positive indeed. The game was created by Curiosity Lab, a group of idealistic marketers who wanted to use consumerism and entertainment to change the way people think and behave. Actually Curious is the only card game, the only one, that uses the science and psychology of emotional connection to teach tools of active listening and empathy. This game means so much to me because those two words right there, I think, is just, we've just abandoned them in today's world, listening and empathy. With Actually Curious, we can change the narrative of hate that's taking hold and bring fun and deeper understanding of friends and loved ones, home and gatherings across the world. Amazing stuff, Michael. Amazing stuff. How have this been received? I'm trying to get to some images to share with them, but you have the card anyway. So,
why don't you go to the Instagram?
Okay, let me go there.
But I can talk in the meantime,
while I'm putting this up. Yes, please. Yeah, how has it been received so far?
Well, every time we could get an audience even earlier to like see the game, feel the game, check out the design, understand the concept, they just immediately fall in love and see the importance of it. And you know, after the holidays or during the holidays of 2019, I decided to go out on the road and bring this almost door to door to people.
Wow.
And we found so much love. We got our first sort of wave of ambassadors and people who really believed in us. Yes. And on that trip, basically between November 22nd, where I left New York City in a rental car and started driving down to Florida, stopping off in cities along the way, all the way through till March 13th, which was the day that lockdown began here in the United States. I basically was on the road maybe 80% of the time between New York and Florida, then across to LA, driving through the deep South, places like Alabama and Louisiana that have a deep history of sort of police brutality and racial hate crimes, essentially. But I did that, braved that to get this mission out there, and I met allies everywhere, in every state. You know, I found my people, our people, and. Yes. By the time I hit lockdown and serendipitously, I was in Florida where my parents are, and because they're survived, foreshadowing, they're good.
Amazing.
And thriving. And we experienced something really, really amazing together while here. So when I arrived in Florida, the card game was in some 70 shops across the country.
Amazing. Celebration.
Over 5 months. And yes. And I was home. I was there with my parents for the first time for that long, 3 extended months, for the first time since I was 12 years old when I left for boarding school.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What was that experience like for you, reconnecting like
that? It was hard.
Yeah? Wow.
It was hard, but it was also...
How did you get through it?
Well, first of all, it was a great privilege. Even though it was hard, I recognized immediately, like, wow, you know, where else would I be? And Raquel, I didn't mention it. I think it's important, but, we don't have to go into it, but my family experienced some deep trauma in 2019.
Wow.
Within the 12 months of 2019, we lost a major patriarch in my family. My uncle John, my aunt Cindy passed away. Then my parents lost 2 of their boys. So out of the 4 of us, in July, my brother Christopher passed, and then in October, my brother Audley, or Darren, we call him because you know Jamaicans and the two Niam Ting, but Darren he passed away, and so. For me to be able to be in this time of global crisis in the home of my parents, tough or not, it was an absolute privilege. But in addition to, you know, I'm a grown man now. They're traditional Jamaican parents. They want their house a certain way. And when you're in their house, you go by certain rules. And also, honestly, I was more or less, I was doing this, but I was doing this based on like with loans and investing in my idea from having 6-figure salaries in the past. What I was doing driving around the country playing this game did not make sense to my parents at all.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's,
so
it's interesting. I think it's a thing. Like I'm Jamaican, I'm an entrepreneur here, And I work with entrepreneurs here. And it's one of the reasons I do what I do. I don't think entrepreneurship is understood in its entirety. You know, I think when the successes come, everyone sees that and they're like, yes, this one is doing that or doing that, you know, and they understand if someone puts up a corner shop or a corner store or someone sells in the arcade, or even if someone is already working in a business place, if there's a tangible physical place to look to, I think then it's understood. But I don't think there is a general understanding amongst my people and appreciation for the process of becoming successful as an entrepreneur.
Well, I feel that I love when I get to talk to you, because almost every word, every sentence, phrase that you come out with, just it almost syncs up with what I was thinking and then also takes me further. But as you were, the thing I was going to say was that what I came to understand on this trip was that they're afraid for me.
Yes.
And when you talk about understanding of entrepreneurship, and you know, these days I've been really exploring what privilege, white privilege is, and what that looks like, and its different permutations, and how I can use my gift of communication to gently show that to people. But when you don't know that you're going to have another chance, ideas that seem really risky or abstract, or, you know, and without a lot of exposure into some of these in different fields and such, that induces fear. That's hard to support when you want Raquel, you want Michael to be safe.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a contradiction too, and I understand where they are, but it's such a contradiction too, because we are a people of faith. You know, so it can be its own contradiction. And I do understand it, because like I said, I work with entrepreneurs, and I think the parents even have a harder time if that person was already in corporate and then leave. The fear goes up even higher. You know, it goes up even higher, because especially if you've displayed certain achievements already, and it's that they're thinking, no, oh my gosh, you're going to risk it. But I understand it because of their story and where they're coming from and the challenges they faced. You know, so I'm happy that you have a game such as this. And I want to read some comments that I'm seeing on Instagram, if you don't mind. I want to share this. Somebody said peace. Love that, you know. Three hearts and peace, that it brings them peace. Isn't that powerful? Someone else said love. And then someone says the practice of communicating with plant spirits.
You should read the question that they're responding to.
Oh, there was a question?
It's in the photo.
Yes, it says, what will you share with humankind? There we go. Are you in need? Oh, that's something different. My heart and my kindness connected to both. The practice of communicating with plant spirit, love, peace. For me, the peace just resonated when I saw it, you know, and please check out Actually Curious. It's at actually C_RIOUS. Actually at actually C. _RIOUS, Actually Curious. You should check it out. It's amazing. You've managed to put together here. And your story, this question right here, how do you love? Just asking myself that and processing it and going through, you know, sometimes my last episode, I spoke about feeling single, living single. Mm-hmm. And I woke up that day feeling single. And I had to go through how I love and what love means to me, and the thought of all of that, and even what a relationship would mean to me. So this is just amazing. And it says, it's a bonus question. How do you feel? That's even more powerful. How do you feel loved? These are powerful questions, Michael. Where do they come from?
Oh, wow. So we've done quite a bit of research on just trust building. And questions that help people, you know, question structure that's not leading and not colored. And we also we look into important issues that matter to us. We have 8 pillars that include diversity and mental health and sustainability among them. And we created a deck that it progresses in intimacy. So essentially, the original deck, which is again called the Curiosity Edition, symbolically you have a gender neutral face. This could be he, she, they. The eyes open up progressively. On the top it says love is blank, get you kind of already into this mode of exploration and curiosity. And then the cards themselves, there are 4 colors, with blue being the lightest. These are questions that should be easy to ask a stranger. And then you go up to green, to yellow, to pink. So the only real rule that we're like, hey, have fun with these, remix it, use it to facilitate your group or your family gathering, like have fun, like be playful. But the only rule is like, start with the lowest, the lightest level. And you can see the eyes are closed. That's because, you know, you're just getting to know each other.
Right.
And then only go like building up after you've done one from the level before. This way you're really honoring the space. You're allowing the group to build in vulnerability together.
Yeah.
Before you get into these tough questions.
The pink ones are the tough ones.
Where the eyes are.
A lot of people have the tendency, just because, you know, depending on the personality style, people are like, oh, let's go to the pink ones right away. And I'm like, you know, that's the same person probably that's like talking over everybody in the meeting and not listening actively. It's like, you know?
Yes. It's about like, I think really... it's powerful. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I thought you stopped. I think it's powerful that you're looking at listening, because I'm finding that even for myself, I did a whole episode on listening and understanding the value of listening. I think listening is respecting. It is respecting the other person. And even I have a challenge with listening, you know? And I think it's the fact that this game that you've created has that in it, listening and empathy. I think it's a big thing. And as I hear your story, I can understand why. You know, I'm a person of purpose. I'm a coach. So I can see that your story led you to purpose. Like all of that you had to go through, all that loss, all that pain, you know, your process. It really, I can see how it brought you to actually curious, you know, and it's such a powerful tool that I know will help people, because if we could listen to understand more, we'd be so much more powerful. And as you spoke about shame, and I liked that you shared it too, because we look at pain, right? And what is the shame? The shame sometimes we don't look at. And you have a point, you know? And I don't think I really looked at it like that before. People go to defense real fast. And I was wondering, like, I've even asked persons who I work with, who I love, like, what makes it that I say something I'm experiencing with you? We're having an experience, and I share with you that this is my experience with you about something you did or said. And you go straight to defense. You haven't heard me to understand me yet, because if you heard me to understand me, then you'd realize I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about my experience. But we jump straight to, because even just the thought of the shame and the pain of being wrong or having been accused of whatever they think they're being accused of is so confronting that they become, it's almost like they reject it before, while it's a conception of thought, they're rejecting it from that point. Have you experienced through your research any pushback with regards to the questions that you had, or the way the game is developed, or, you know, how people feel about it? Have you received any negative responses that were influential to the success that you now have?
I think the more guarded an individual is the more uncomfortable this game will make them. And like I said, I alluded to before, there have been situations where people have gotten either entered the group late and where they're already up into the pink cards, and that has caused friction in the group.
Yeah.
And like, I actually wasn't there, but a friend had brought it and said, like, oh man, like a huge argument broke out at the end. And it was actually, and I was like, what was the scenario? I'm picturing like a conservative and a liberal, or like a white person and a black person. It was two Haitian Americans, and it was not a response to the question. It was like it dovetailed into another discussion, and it was around, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, around beating children. And they got into a really heavy debate around it. And so I was like, oh man, this was early. And I was like, oh man, I think I ruined somebody's party.
Oh no,
like
that sending... disruption is good. Because your game is a disruption. It disrupts the thoughts. Right. And that's why I think it's so powerful, because disruption is good. Because
that's also why we created the happy hour edition.
The next day. Yeah. And is the happy hour edition the pink?
So it's actually, so this color is called magenta. It's like a hot pink. So you know the happy hour is over there as soon as you see it on the shelf.
Yes. Yes. But, I love it. Oh my god.
So it's basically lighter than all you can't see this. Oh, there you can. It's lighter than all the other colors. So it's something that, like, let's say, you know, you want to have thoughtful conversation. Mm-hmm. You want to introduce, like, maybe, because this is the way I use it too, is if I know there are people in the group that I'm paying attention, I'm listening to myself, I'm feeling as there's some discomfort, I'm then looking around to see, like, okay, all right, these half the room is really nervous here. You know what I mean? So to me, that's the perfect opportunity, if I'm facilitating, to spend maybe a couple cards here. Mm-hmm. So people learn, like, oh, okay, these are questions, and like, they're not that bad before we go up. But they are all still very thoughtful. And in truth, when I was ideating these questions, one of the first kind of creative strategy processes that I did was take each of the 52 questions out of the Curiosity Edition and just did a rapid brainstorm around, okay, if you wanted to kind of touch this area, but you wanted to do it in a more light and playful way, or a way that gets the story about the positive versus the potentially like sad backstory that happened, and how would you frame it that way? How would you do that? And that was one of the first, we did some like 200 something questions just by doing that, you know?
Yes. Awesome. Okay, let's sample and see if I can answer some. So just to just show the
should
how
you start
it works.
At the happy hour? Okay, so just so we you want to just do rapid style?
Yes, I'm game.
Okay, how about you want to do it a little bit different than we played the last time?
Sure.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Sure. You're on the hot seat.
Okay.
I am the game master. I'm your concierge for the time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to show the listeners how to listen to themselves, because this is such an important part of empathy, is getting a better understanding of yourself. You know, when that shame comes up and you start to be defensive, like it's a two-way
be
street.
Aware of it.
Right?
Yes.
So what I'd like you to do is I'm just going to pull the question at random, and I want you to real quick show the listeners what like a body, like a check-in, my emotional check-in might look like. So just say like, oh, that question makes me feel this in my body, whatever you feel. And emotionally, it makes me feel X, Y, Z. And then answer the question.
Awesome.
Cool? How's that sound?
Yes.
All right, deep breath. They say it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert. If you could instantly complete 10,000 hours of one skill, what would it be? How's it feel?
It feels, how does it feel? Curious, is that a feeling? That's not a feeling. It feels warm. it feels okay. It feels, I don't feel happy or sad. I feel safe. Yeah. Emotionally, it made me introspect. I immediately went to look at myself. Like, it immediately gave me introspection. Like, I'm now like, this is what happened when you say it, because I'm a visual person. Like, when someone says something, I see it. And the weirdest thing is, immediately after you asked me the question, I started seeing almost like in the back of my head, like a dark space, like a hollow space. It's weird. Like, it's a dark space and it was empty and hollow, but peaceful. But peaceful. What I would want to create, what came to my mind immediately, or what I would want to do, the skill I'd like to develop is success coaching. Yeah, success coaching. I never knew I could love it this much, but I really love success coaching, helping people get over whatever obstacles, personal obstacles are in their way. That's the skill I would go to. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
That was such an interesting thing. It was so interesting. It was so interesting for me. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's one of the new styles, one of the new gameplay styles I've been using, especially when I have like a great opportunity to go one-on-one with someone. Mm-hmm. And maybe even something that could be interesting to test out in the coaching practice.
Yes, I think that's good for that. Yes,
absolutely. I think, like, for me, it's really helpful for brainstorming or for journaling. If I'm just like, what does this make me feel? What do I think? So, all right. So, I don't know. We only have like a bit more time.
We have 9 minutes to go.
Do this how you want. We can go up a level. Yes. You direct.
We can do one more question. Yes, one more.
One more.
Yes.
You want to just go up to blue?
Sure.
If we do it fast, maybe we can squeeze in two.
Okay, go ahead.
Do that. Just no more than like a minute.
Yes. Is it possible when you're doing it to show the question so they can see it?
I will. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Yes, I'm
Same
ready.
Exercise. Ready?
Yes. Yes.
Who is someone from your childhood who shaped who you are today and why?
Oh, my dad. Oh, God. Oh, yeah, my dad.
You want to share some of the feelings with us?
Yes, that was unexpected. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
It's okay, Mama. Find you happy. Sometimes it comes with a little bit of tears.
Yeah, I love my dad. I'm sorry.
I can feel it. You don't even have to describe it. We can feel it.
I love my dad. He taught me to think. He taught me to be intentional. He taught me to love. He taught me Oh God, I'm sorry. I never expected this.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. My father, I'm sorry.
No need to apologize.
He was the most broken person I ever met. And he taught me. How to touch the most painful part of oneself, the most broken, the most imperfect. And then to own it. I'm sorry, I didn't.
Oh, Raquel.
taught me that it was okay to be broken, but to own it. He taught me honesty, to be honest with myself and not to believe my own lies, but to be honest with myself, you know? God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're just in the blue level too, Raquel.
I know, right?
You know, the thing is we don't often slow down that much to like really check in with our feelings.
True. Like, and I don't think I've really mourned him.
Yeah.
I haven't taken the time to, because I feel like if I don't, then he's not really gone.
Yeah.
That is. So I haven't really, and that kind of forced me to go back, to accept that he wasn't here, that he isn't here. So that was physically painful for me.
I'm sorry, love.
Yeah, but thank you, because he was just an exceptional human being, just so broken and just so, I just think he was so real, you know? So, thank you for that.
A couple things that it brings up for me is, one, I have 8 nieces and nephews who just lost their fathers, two different dads. And I just, it makes me really think about my two of my nieces in a major way. Who I'm trying my best to like bridge my gap with those relationships, but I know that we have time and that I'm ready and willing to continue to like wade in the difficulty till we figure it out. Yes. And, but then I also think about some of the feelings that I had come up for me right when I was in the depths of the trauma. And I had a wonderful group of men that I have, we do a group where we meet once a week, and we really do exactly what we just did. We force each other to slow down and really check in with our feelings and not just gloss over it with work or whatever. Well, they led me through a healing journey. And in that healing journey, I saw my grandfather and my great grandfather weeping. I never met these men. These men were dead long before I was born. And it brought me to a sense of spiritual awareness of that brokenness and that trauma, not just in my lineage, but within Black men globally. And you think about just like the spiritual and historic weight of slavery and the psychological subjugation that has been exhibited on Black people and off of the African continent. That doesn't just go away until people break it.
Right. And I think sometimes that is perhaps why I don't think it's suppression, but it's almost like, I think it has the potential to be so paralyzing when you think about it, that we say, I'm going to put you down here for right now because I can't spend time with you here right now. Because if I do, it's going to cripple me, and I don't have the kind of environment or support system that would allow for me to deal with you, because I need to eat my basic needs. I'm so tied and so shackled to my basic needs that my emotional needs have to be put on hold, because if I break down or if I have to go through this, there's nothing to hold me up. So I have to put it down there. And it's like every day you have to get up and remember that it's put down there. I can see how an anger, a hurt, a resentment, pain just build up over time and shame accelerate, you know, and just build up over time. And so you can't just put that down.
I don't think we can. And like when I think about my two brothers who both passed away before the age of 50, and I think about the emotional weight and the physical toll on the body, it's part of my life work to allow people the space, help try to just play my part, because I'm just one person. I'm not trained as a psychologist or anything of that nature, but I've seen people be able to visit something that is stored in their body, that's stored on their heart, that's stored on their organs.
Yes. And I think something like this, yes, it does. Because I think one of the most powerful thing I think with this is that it can trigger an awareness that I need to get help. It has that potential, because sometimes when that is just put down like there, we become so conditioned to move on without dealing with it, that sometimes it's going to take something, a disruptor, to say, hey, remember I'm here, and perhaps check in, especially right after, because for some of us, like we are shackled to this basic need, and then we find success. And the things that we had, the voices inside us that we quieted when we were shackled to basic needs and trying to pursue something, when we become successful, sometimes we don't go back there because we don't know, how do I bridge the gap now? How do I go back there to pick up the voices I silenced, to pick up the pain that I had down there? And I think something like this helps them know how. It gives them a pathway, you know, and where you have the easier than, you know, and it goes up. So you can start at a rate where you can take your time and proceed with caution. I think it's fantastic. Thank you. That was such an empowering experience for me. It really was. And I really hope it was for persons. And if you're on YouTube talking to me, I'm not looking at it, and I'm so sorry, but I will respond eventually. Michael, we're so happy to have you here. Any advice for a brand builder, a new brand builder, a new entrepreneur, somebody who's just starting out? Any advice for them?
Yeah. My advice is slow down and listen to yourself. Try to get really grounded in why this is important to you. Sometimes that exploration might even illuminate why it's not important. And that'll save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of energy. So it's, you know, my philosophy, which I've now tried, and now I'm getting success in it on my own. I've done it for businesses, but now for myself, is slow down, listen to yourself, figure out what your values are, and let that guide you.
Wonderful.
And this is I'm still getting used to plugging myself, promoting myself in this way, but this is something I've focused on so much. Please. That yes. Actually very recently on Thrive Global, I published an article about listening to your values. So it's called, if you Google, is your Michael Tennant and values, you'll and Thrive, you'll probably find it. But Raquel, yes, maybe you can also share it in the
chat.
But the article is your world on fire? It's time to assess your values. It's time to find your values. And then I have a workshop that is on the Actually Curious site, actuallycurious.com/workshops, which can guide you through an exercise to find your values. So that's what I do. And
awesome. It's amazing.
And find your support. Anything else?
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Give us everywhere we can find you, whatever you want us to do. Anything.
Please do follow us on Instagram. That's our main social media channel. Actually Curious, with the U and curious is an underscore, but if you type in Actually Curious, you'll find it.
It'll come up, yes.
Go to actuallycurious.com, download the tools, start to use it. You become immediately another one of our ambassadors on the front line of this movement to spread empathy. And if you're able, support us by buying the game, gifting the game, bringing it into your workplaces. We do help, while you can do self-guided workshops, if your organization has the means and can help us further the mission by being an advocate to your org, we'd be more than happy to find time with you to customize a workshop for your needs. So pretty much we're here to try to enable this movement to spread empathy for the whole spectrum globally. And we're hoping that, you know, if you're moved by this, that you'll help us.
And I think this is good for entrepreneurs. Just to get a card for yourself, because I plan to do that. Just get a card for yourself and just check in with yourself. Because as an entrepreneur, you're going out there, you're influencing people, you're impacting people. And to be effective as a leader, you need to check in with yourself. So please, his name is Michael Tennant. He's fantastic. He's phenomenal. We are so happy to have had you here with us. Thank you for the process. Thank you for the purpose. Thank you for pursuing the purpose. Thank you for gifting the world with this amazing opportunity to tap in and to tap into listening. And I love that it's Black owned, you know. I just love that because I know we're so creative and we're so innovative. There's so much skill among us, you know, and sometimes we never get to manifest it. So I am proud of you if I'm able to be, and I'm very happy. I'm very happy. I just want to share this from How Successful People Think before we go. Sorry. And it says, listen intentionally. An excellent way to broaden your experience is to listen. To listen to someone who has expertise in an area where you don't. I search for such opportunities, the writer says. One year, I spoke to about 900 coaches and scouts at the Senior Bowl. Where graduating football players participate in their last college game. I had the opportunity, along with my son-in-law, Steve Miller, to have dinner with NFL head coaches, Dave Wanstead and Butch Davis. It's not often that you get such an opportunity. So I asked them questions about teamwork and spent a lot of time listening to them. At the end of the evening, as Steve and I were walking to our car, he said to me, John, I bet you asked those coaches 100 questions tonight. If I'm going to learn and grow, I replied, I must know what questions to ask and know how to apply the answers to my life. Listening has taught me a lot more than talking. When you meet with people, it's good to have an agenda so that you can learn. It's a great way to partner with people who can do things you can't. Big picture thinkers recognize that they don't know lots of things. They frequently ask penetrating questions to enlarge their understanding and thinking. If you want to become a better big picture thinker, then become a good listener. And I want to thank you, Michael, because your card game empowers us to be good listeners. Thank you. You've been listening to Finding Happy. Please follow us at UME Radio everywhere, or you can go to umeradio.com. That's the letter UMERADIO. Thank you so much for being here, Michael. It's been such an absolute pleasure talking with you this morning. Do enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. It has been interesting, to say the least. And as we go to close the show, I just want to remind you that you're not alone. You're not alone. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what you've been through, what this life may bring, you are not alone. Okay? You're not alone. I'm going to play a song. Let me see. I want to play, Love Wins by Carrie Underwood. You're listening to UME Radio. This is Finding Happy, and I'm Coach Raquel. Please join me next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another fantastic hour. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you were able to process. I hope you had a good time. I hope you had some me time this morning listening. I hope you had some me time as you listened. I hope you were able to introspect and process. And I hope that the ultimate outcome will be that you feel good about yourself. Your greatness is in your brokenness. Don't you forget that. You, me, read here. And here are some reminders. Own your truth.
And what do you mean by that?
Harmonizing your thoughts, feelings, and actions.
I like that. So your greatest power is in your discovery and understanding of self.
That's right.
Finding Happy Podcast will help you understand how your thoughts affect your life.
Thoughts become feelings, and our feelings create a halo around us. Finding Happy Podcast will help you cultivate favorable outcomes and avoid harboring negative energies.
Wow, I like that. Thoughts become feelings, which then become habits that we practice. Finding Happy Podcast will help or give the listener an insight into how what they do is a reflection of their subconscious minds, and it will help you understand how to program your mind to attract what you want consciously.
You deserve to thrive in this life. Find your happy.
Finding Happy Podcast.